I'm going to be in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 46 this morning. Luke 6, 43 through 46. The words of Jesus. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue with us. We want to hear what you're saying to us today. We want to be more fully equipped to live lives that put a smile on your face, that bring you pleasure. So help us, Lord, as we continue on our journey, learning how to handle sin, to prevent sin. Grow us in you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if anybody doubts the intellectual rigor of farming, they've never spent much time around farmers, have they? They seem like simple folk, but they are brilliant. They are absolutely brilliant. They are masters in botany, zoology, meteorology, edaphology. Edaphology, by the way, is the study of soil and in relation to soil-dependent activities. You have to be good at soil. Chemistry, hydrology, economics, mechanics, and the list goes on and on and on and on. All of those disciplines merge to simply supply us food. Simply. There's nothing simple about the process, is there? And over the past several weeks, I've been mulling over the topic of fruit production. Much of what the New Testament says about discipleship, about what we're going through, it puts under the metaphor of fruit. Produce fruit. John 14 through 16, which I would encourage you to read and meditate on and pray over for the next several weeks because we're going to spend some time there. Jesus says, it is to the glory of God the Father that you produce how much fruit? Much fruit. He just puts this, much. You produce a lot of fruit. That's what God wants. And so Jesus is the true vine. We're the branches. Paul tells us that we are to bear much fruit in the Holy Spirit. Other places in Scripture speak of the fruit of right living, the fruit of our lips giving praise, the fruit of sin. Fruit production is a big, big deal. In Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 46, Jesus paints this wonderfully simple but profound picture. Our character is evidenced in our conduct and words over time. It's evidenced by the fruit that we produce. No bad tree can produce what? Good fruit. You have to have goodness on the inside to produce goodness on the outside. What we do and what we say comes from the core of our being, our character. Therefore, character development is essential to following Jesus. In fact, character development is so fundamental, it should be the first thing. Human being is the source of human doing. Okay? Being something produces what we do. And so we have to make sure that we have those things in proper order. We don't want to get it backwards or upside down. Fruit develops naturally based on the DNA of the plant. No matter how hard it tries, a white pine will never produce grapefruit. You can stand in your front yard or your backyard and you can confess grapefruit till you're blue in the face on that pine tree and it's just going to produce what? Cones over and over. If you're creative and maybe a little bit Italian, you might get some pine nuts out of that, but you're not going to get grapefruit ever, okay? Because the DNA is wrong. The beautiful thing for us as believers, if we're believers this morning, is that as new creatures, we have the DNA that allows us to produce the right kind of fruit. A different kind of fruit than we produced when we were living in sin. A completely different kind of fruit than the world produces. We have that DNA because we've been made new in Jesus. And this morning, we're just going to pause to consider how we can prevent sin through fruit production. In fact, as we develop on the inside, we become better and better at preventing sin. We've been talking about sin for several weeks now. We want to learn how to prevent it, and the way to prevent it is to develop our character from the inside, and then we will produce the right kind of fruit. And I want to begin by answering the most fundamental question of all, what is fruit? Do we have to ask that question? Why would we even bother? We all know what fruit is. We buy it at the grocery store on a regular basis. It comes in bags, in bundles, in cans. You can get it in a variety of ways. We also understand that fruit is the product of a tree or vine, but Jesus uses fruit as a metaphor. And when we use metaphors, we're using something in a representative fashion. What does fruit represent in the life of the Christian? What does fruit represent in our lives? What does fruit represent in the life of a disciple? Well, the Old Testament, interestingly enough, holds the answer to this. The most prominent verse on fruit is found in Psalm 1:3. That person, and this is critical, the person who delights in the laws of God, the person who delights in the scriptures, is like a tree planted by streams of living water, and they produce their fruit in every season. So let's not forget this. You're going to find this when you're reading John 14 through 16 the next few weeks, that the center of fruit production is, if my word abides in you and you abide in my word, what? Okay, you'll be obedient, you'll be faithful, you'll be truly my children, you will be able to produce much fruit. And it says it here, the person who delights in the law of God is like a tree planted by streams of water which produces its fruit in season. And of course, fruit is a process. It's the intersection of soil and water, sunlight, the DNA of the tree to produce fruit. Fruit is the result of supplied resources being transformed into a desired product. So the Word of God is planted in us, and then what happens? As the Holy Spirit works in us, as we are submissive, as we are obedient, and we experiment in obeying the Word of God, what happens? We begin to produce more and more and more fruit. We become more fruitful. Now, I want to move on to the book of Proverbs for a moment. We learn that fruit is representative of our speech. Proverbs 12:14 says, from the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things. And Solomon might as well have said, and bad things, depending on what you say. So the fruit of our lips bring us good things. A few verses earlier, the writer says that fruit is a byproduct of right living. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Not only do we bring forth fruit and honor God, but we are a tree of life to the people around us. Several other Old Testament passages indicate that being a member of God's family is essential to fruit production. Psalm 80, verses 8 and 9, talk about God transplanting the vine of Israel and putting it in soil where they tended it and cared for it. Listen, we cannot produce fruit effectively if we are not part of a body, if we are not part of a family of God. So from these references, we can surmise that fruit is representative of human conduct, including speech. It's our behavior and our speech. What we do and what we say are products of our nature. Pause for a minute. Are you starting to get this? What's coming from the inside is what we're seeing on the outside. So if what you see on the outside of your life is scary and is offensive to other people, something is off where? Inside. There has to be a transformation here. Fruit is the product of our character. And please note this, because it's kind of hidden in the Greek in Luke chapter 6 passage. But this is, discerning fruit is a process of time. If you walk up to any given apple tree in an orchard, you're going to find a handful of apples that probably aren't the greatest. Once in a while, a tree or two are going to have a bad season, right? So just because you run into somebody someday and they're having a cantankerous day, doesn't mean that the entirety of their life is bad. Okay, we understand this. We got to be gracious about this. It's not, man, I ran into the other day. Oh my word, man, they must have lost redemption. No, they're probably having a bad day. They're producing some bad fruit. Okay, relax. Give them some grace. This is an over time thing, isn't it? What does the whole life say? What does their whole character say? Not a single instance, but an extended period of time. Next, we're going to ask the question, what does fruit indicate? What does the fruit indicate? What does it tell us? What can we know from the fruit that we are producing? Behavior and speech reveal the real person on the inside, and again, over time. The real person on the inside. Words and works are the product of something much, much deeper. The way we act and speak reveals the sort of person we are. Again, not based on a single instance. This is behavior and speech over the long haul. That lets us know that the real person on the inside is a certain type of character. It reveals our true nature. It demonstrates our strengths, our weaknesses, our hurts, our brokenness, our joys, our strengths, the flavor of our personality. That's what fruit indicates. So, fruit helps us to know our true condition. It helps us to know our true condition. And this is the primary reason to examine fruit, to know our own true condition. I'm going to talk about the condition of other people in just a second, but this verse is not about looking at other people's fruit to begin with. The center and core of this is examining our own fruit. And the most important thing I can tell you is this: I don't always know the fruit that I'm producing. Okay, this is a very husband-oriented question, but husbands, have your wives ever told you, it's not what you said, it's how you said it? Okay. Hi, honey. She says this to me. Okay. What I'm saying is the right thing, but how I'm saying it isn't always in the right attitude or the right tone. What does that indicate? That indicates that there's something going on the inside that is flavoring the fruit that's coming out of my mouth, and I'm not even aware of it. So when I go to examine my own fruit, I'm going to be able to examine some of it well, but the reality is I'm probably going to ask for some help because I don't even hear my own tone of voice most of the time. Right? So I'm going to have to ask some friends to engage this and say, what kind of fruit am I producing? Make sure you ask friends who aren't afraid to tell you the truth, because we as a culture have this tendency just to be nice. Oh, you're fine. It's okay. When inside you're going, this person is off the rails. Don't lie. Be courteous. Tell the truth. This is what I'm seeing. Now, you're going to have some trustworthy friends, and you're going to have to be able to take it from them. Right? Don't get defensive, because that's another fruit, isn't it? Okay, so it reveals our true condition, and it's too easy to assume that all is well based on self-evaluation when I can't even tell what I'm saying, you know, the way I'm saying it is the right way. It's dangerous territory for us. We need to make sure that we engage the help of trusted friends. Fruit also helps us discern the character of other people. This one's a little sketchier, because human beings look on the outward appearance, and God looks where? On the heart. I can't tell the heart of a person, but over time, I can just kind of get a gist of what's going on there. Just a couple of thoughts. First, it's always secondary to self-evaluation, because we don't want to be plank eye walking around, oh, I'm fruit inspector, whacking people, you know, with that crazy plank, when we haven't looked at ourselves. Fruit inspection isn't primarily about looking at other people, but it helps us know what their character is. We need a way to discern the character of other people, and seeing them over time helps us to do that. We don't want our discernment of a person's character to be based on that small sample size of behaviors and conversations. That's why, listen, as a church, one of the reasons that we ask newcomers not to engage in ministry for 12 months is to what? Give them a chance to get to know our fruit and give us a chance to know their fruit a little bit so we feel more comfortable with it. Now, people get upset by that. They get exercised a little bit by that. Listen, we're not trying to be, you know, offensive and keep you at a distance. What are we trying to do? We're trying to make sure that you're okay with us and we're okay with you. We need to see each other's fruit. It's a vitally important process. The other place that I see this is in the marrying process, right? You shouldn't get married at first sight. I mean, I don't watch these shows, but like Married at First Sight is a real thing on television. And I'm just like, you people are okay, stupid. That's rude, but it's true, isn't it? Who does this? Take some time. And you know as well as I do that even if you've taken a significant period of time, sometimes it doesn't turn out all that great. Why would you get married at first sight? This is ridiculous. So what do? We watch people over a period of time to know whether someone's worthy of a lifelong commitment. This is an important decision, right? And you want a decent-sized sample of fruit, of the conduct, their speech. You want to know how they manage stress and conflict and loss and joy, all those things, before you say, yeah, that's what I want to do. Fruit indicates the real person where? On the inside. Okay. Next question we need to answer is this. Where does the fruit come from? Where does the fruit come from? And this is essential to the entire process, because too often the church has insisted that fruit has its source on the outside. As important as bark is to an apple tree, bark does not produce fruit. You catch what I'm saying here? The externals do not produce fruit. Now, you can do some stuff to bark and make a tree not produce fruit. If you ring that tree with a knife, pull off, right? Done. It's over. That thing is done. So it's important to the process. Not that the externals aren't important, but they are not the thing that produces fruit. They're part of the process. They are not all of the process. Where does the fruit come from? Well, we tend to focus on regulations and rules. Are those important? Yeah, you have to have bark on a tree. It's necessary to prevent what? Infestation. It's necessary to keep the plumbing of the tree flowing. Man, if you rim the tree, what happens? All of the sap goes where? Out toward the edges to try and heal the wound, and it doesn't have enough energy to heal it. So you have to have regulations at the bark of the tree. But when we desire better fruit and demand that it comes from the outside and we put all of our emphasis on the bark, what are we doing? We're missing the point of fruit production. Fruit production doesn't happen from the bark and our emphasis on the externals. Fruit production comes from our emphasis where? On the inside health of the individual. The fruit a person bears comes from their inner existence. It comes from their inner existence. The fruit of your life flows directly from your character. I said it earlier. Human being, who we are on the inside, produces human doing. Character produces fruit. Who you are and who you are becoming is on display every day. The attitudes we have, the words we speak, the actions we take, all combine to show people what we are really like on the inside. Therefore, hear this, please. Therefore, our daily time with God, our devotional time, is vitally important. It doesn't matter all that much. If character development is what produces fruit, then meeting with God on a regular basis is required. And not only that, notice again back in Psalm 1:3, the person who delights in the law of God is like a person who is planted, like a tree planted by streams of water that produces fruit in season. So the Word of God is essential to that process. If we are going to grow, we have to be people who study and understand and meditate on and pray over and receive and nourish ourselves and cultivate ourselves on what? The Scriptures. You have to. I will never forget this. I was new to charismatic experiences. I was late high school, early college, and I was with a group of friends here in town. One of the gals in the group was a longtime Pentecostal from a church that I eventually was a part of as an interim pastor. And she just, we're in a Bible study one night, and she looks at me, and she looks at Brian Lidbeck, and she goes, "You two guys are always talking about the Word of God." And I thought, isn't that what Christians do? We read the Scriptures, we study the Scriptures, we try to understand and live the Scriptures. Well, their experience was more what? Experience-oriented without a basis in the Scriptures. They had Pentecost without the Word. That's terrible. It's scary, isn't it? Listen, I'm all for Pentecost. I love that. But if it's not rooted in something, it quickly descends into craziness. Right? Listen, we need to be people of the Word of God. And that doesn't start here. That starts where? At home. Daily. You say, well, I'm not much of a reader. That's okay. Get you an app. You know how I went to sleep last night? I was listening to piano, cello, and the Gospel of John. And I woke up and I went, where'd it go? About an hour later, like, what just happened? But there's just this, listen, you can listen to it. And sometimes that's better. That's how it was originally delivered, was what? Verbally. So if you have a problem, just get an app, listen to it. Have somebody else read it to you. But spend time in the Scripture, because that is the thing that is helping develop character. You give the Holy Spirit something to work with, and then you give Him your will and your desire. We have to have time with God. It's vitally important, because when we take time to meet with God, read and meditate on the Scriptures, pray and welcome the Holy Spirit's influence, and then submit ourselves to obedience, we are allowing our inner existence to be molded away from sin and toward Christ-likeness. Critical. There's a clear warning that's involved here. Your inner self, it distributes its produce to those around you every day. And the bad news is it's free. And there is nothing anybody can do about it. It's just out there, right? You are distributing the fruit of your life everywhere. What are you giving to other people? Are they experiencing, catch this, Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, Or are they receiving the fruit of a sinful heart? Just a couple of verses earlier. Sexual unfaithfulness, moral impurity, sexual sins, worshiping false gods, witchcraft, hatred, making trouble, jealousy, anger, rage, selfishness, making people angry with each other, causing divisions among people, envy, drunkenness, addiction, basically, having wild and wasteful parties and doing other things like these. What are we giving them? Are we giving them the good fruit of the Holy Spirit based on the cultivation of our character through the Word of God and the Spirit of God? Or are we just giving them whatever comes out of us based on our fleshly attitudes? The fruit of sin usually stems from the negative attitudes that guilt and shame afford us. Fruit comes from the deepest, truest parts of our being. What are we distributing to the people around us? So, with those essentials established, I want to consider a few principles of fruit production. We'll talk about these a little bit more in depth later on, but they're so important. Jesus says, "It is to the glory of God the Father that we bear much fruit." We are responsible to bear the fruit of conduct and speech that is in keeping with the new nature that He has placed within us, that is growing toward Christ-likeness. So here are four things to keep in mind. First, fruit production is not about performance. This is so confusing to us. Production. Pastor talked about production this morning, and now I want to go out and I want to perform. That's not how this works. Too often we attempt to change how we act and speak without first changing our inner existence. We have to change on the inside. Listen, if you staple bunches of grapes to a 2x4, you with me on this? Is that 2x4 any more productive than it was before you put the staples in it? No, I mean, the DNA of that 2x4 cannot produce grapes. It doesn't matter if you put it in water. It's not gonna do anything to it. You say, well, that's ridiculous. This is what we do. Oh, I want to be a better Christian. We get out the staple and we start stapling fruit to the outside. There's no internal change. And so what does the fruit hanging on the outside do? It withers. And it becomes useless and tasteless and grotesque because we're not hitting the spot that needs to be changed for real fruit to be produced. I don't know that much about horticulture, but I did take botany from one of the most brilliant botanists on the North American continent, okay? Dr. Janice Gleim at MTU. And I do know this. There are things that you can do to fruit-bearing trees to make them produce fruit. I could come to your orchard and I can look at your apple trees and say, I can tell you why your apples are this big around. Because you need to what? Prune the tree. And Jesus talks about that, doesn't he? John chapter 15. We cut out everything that isn't producing fruit and we burn that in the fire. Right? And then what happens? When we're pruned, then we begin to produce apples that are fruitful and tasty, right? So we produce fruit. Same thing happens here. We need to be very cautious about our attitudes and where we're producing fruit. This is not about how we perform. No matter how hard we hope a 2x4 to produce grapes, it is never going to do it. Its nature would need to change. God has given us a DNA. That's why the Apostle Paul talks about the new nature. We are new creations in Christ because He's placed a new nature in us. We were incapable of producing good fruit before because our nature was sinful and bad, but now our nature is new and good and refreshing and Christ-like, so we can produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But if you and I are going to bear much fruit, we have to have an ongoing inner transformation. There has to be an inner strengthening through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit. Performance is a byproduct. Performance is fruit. It is not the cause of fruit. Second, fruit is not about rule keeping. It's not about rule keeping. Trees and vines cannot choose whether to obey the laws of nature or not. Why does a tree or a vine produce fruit? Because it's alive. That's it. It's because it's alive. Keeping the laws of nature is a byproduct of being what? Alive. You say, Pastor, how does that work in Christianity? Do you remember the Old Testament prophet saying, listen, God is no longer going to have the laws, His laws written on tablets of stone, but He is going to write them where? On the fleshy tablets of our hearts, on the inside. That sounds like DNA to me. He's changing our DNA. We come to Him in a redemptive act, and He writes His laws on our hearts, and we are able to follow the laws of God, not because they are forced on us from the outside, but because we are alive in Jesus Christ. That's how we produce fruit. It's not rule keeping. We don't produce fruit because of external forces. We produce fruit because we're alive. Alive in Christ. When we are alive in Christ, we produce fruit automatically. We obey God's laws automatically. Is it ever perfect? Is anything ever perfect on this side of eternity? No. But there is fruit. Third, fruit production is about character development. God is interested in growing our inner person in the likeness of His Son, Jesus. And as we make progress on the inside, we will automatically begin to produce the fruit of right living, which is the biblical term righteousness, and right speaking. Our inner disposition is being transformed in the likeness of Christ, and it will work its way to the surface, producing more and more and more fruit. It can't help itself. This is how this works. So fruit production is about character development. And finally, fourth, fruit production is about who is leading you. And we're not talking about pastors and husbands. Right? What does Jesus say in verse 46? Why do you say with your mouth, Lord, Lord, but don't follow me in your actions? Why do you confess me with your mouth, but there's no character change? Verse 46 poses a question of leadership. If there's no fruit of conduct or speech that represents Christ, then someone or something else is overseeing your life. Basically, Jesus is saying, how dare you align yourself with me verbally and not give evidence of it by the way you live and the way you speak? When sin and self rule us, fruit shows it. When Jesus rules us, the fruit what? Shows it. Who's in charge? Are you just mouthing the words, Jesus is Lord? Or are you living that? Let me assure you, the most prolific place that this is seen and experienced is in the home. It's easy. Jesus is Lord at church. You know it's not as easy, Jesus is Lord, at home. That poor person has to live with you. Hear me on this. This is serious stuff, right? It's conviction. It's the tone, not just the message. It's the body posture. It's the activity. It's what we're saying, full of the fruit of the Spirit, is what we're doing, fruit of the Holy Spirit, when we're around those that are closest to us. Oh, man, right? Easy to be Christian on Sunday. Not so easy to be Christian after lunch on Sunday. Because that's when people do things that we just don't care for. That's when we let our hair down. That's when we don't give our best, which I think is really sad. Fruit shows itself every time. Now, this is just, man, he's like 35 minutes. This is just a brief overview of fruit production. Come back for a few weeks. All right? If we want to live in victory over sin, we cannot ignore the importance of developing a strong, godly interior. Right? That's where the fruit comes from. That's where Christian life flows from. Hear this. When you read John 14 through 16 in the next few weeks, Jesus says things like, the Father is in me and I am in the Father. And you are in me. You're like, what? He talks about indwelling. So He indwells the Father and the Father indwells Him and He indwells us by the Holy Spirit and we indwell each other as the body of Christ. And this is where, because if Jesus is the true vine and we are connected to that true vine as branches, we will automatically do what? Produce fruit. So we have to have an intimacy, an ever-growing intimacy with Jesus in order for this to take place. If I want to live in victory over sin, I can't just force external things. There has to be an internal change. There has to be a change in the way I think, my attitudes. There has to be a change in my relationship to things. Listen, probably the easiest way to describe this is through dietary means. Anybody here ever try to lose weight? Anybody here ever fail at losing weight? Okay, there's only two of us. All right. Write a book. We'll read it and buy it. Multiple copies. You know why you failed? because you did not change your relationship to food and eating. I'm telling you, that's right where it's at. Your internal attitudes didn't change. You changed the bark, but not the character. And if you change the character, it will change your health. The same is true here. If you change your relationship to Jesus, it will change your relationship to sin, and you will change dramatically, and fruit will be produced. See? Christian life flows from the inside. We're not Christians because we comply with a set of moral rules. We are Christians because we are alive in Jesus Christ, and we're allowing the character of Christ to be developed within us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Listen, we need to take some time and surrender more completely to that process this morning. I can bear more fruit. You can bear more fruit. And you know where it starts, right? It starts on the inside. That means that all of us need to meet with Jesus. I'm going to ask Natalie to come to the piano, please. And I'm going to invite you to find a place of prayer. I would encourage you, listen, I understand that God can move out there as much as he can move up here. There's no magic about being up in front. But there's sometimes something about moving our physical location. And it just says, God, I've dedicated myself to this and I'm going to do it. So I'm going to invite you to come and join me here near the front. Let's take some time this morning and pray. God, search me. That's a Psalm 139 moment again. God, search me and know me. Show me, Lord, where I'm inhibiting, where I'm preventing fruit production. I don't want to prevent fruit production. Would you join me? And let's take some time and seek the Lord together. Father, we need you. We need you this morning, Jesus. We need you to search us. We need you to know us. We need you, Father God, to delve deep inside of our very being. We want to produce much fruit and glorify the Father. And there are so many blind spots. So many blind spots. I can't even hear my own tone of voice. Lord, how blind must I be? Help me, Holy Spirit. Help us in this moment. Search us, Holy Spirit, we pray. Of our lips giving thanks and praise to you, but our heart's desire this week is that our actions and our words would give praise to you, that our inner attitudes would be more and more shaped like Jesus, so the fruit production just becomes natural. Lord, there's some stuff that, man, it needs to be trimmed out and pruned out. Search us, show us. You're so kind to do that for us. We don't want anything taking life away from fruit production. We want you to be glorified. We want you to be honored, Father, by much fruit this week. Help us at home. Help us at work. Help us when we're in our private times, where we're alone and nobody's looking, that your character would shine through. We don't want any area of our lives untouched. Holy Spirit, we throw the book open. Every corner is accessible. Come and search it out. Come and prune out the sin. Come and prune out the things that have become idolatrous. Come and prune out the things that are just in the way. We want to become producers of much fruit. Help us, Lord, to glorify and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.